This episode of TWIP is brought to you by Datacolor and the new Spider X Pro. The Spider X Pro is designed for serious photographers and designers seeking a fast, accurate, and easy-to-use monitor calibration solution. You can check out the Spider X Pro at spiderx.datacolor.com. This episode of This Week in Photo is brought to you by Creative Live. Head over to creativelive.com and choose from over 1,000 amazing courses. Use the code TWIP10 at checkout to get $10 off your first purchase. This episode of This Week in Photo is brought to you by WPPI, the Wedding and Portrait Photographers International Conference. Head over to WPPIExpo.com/TWIP to get $30 off your show floor expo pass. Hey folks, in this episode, we're going to be talking about influence. That's coming your way next. This is TWIP. Hey, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. I'm your host, Frederick Van Johnson. In this episode, I'm talking to Marina Baraiva. She's a photographer that's based in China by way of Russia, and she's just out there crushing it and doing some really cool stuff. She's got a podcast we're going to be talking about, but more specifically, we're going to be talking about influence and how you, as a photographer, or as any kind of content creator, can build your influence. She's going to be sharing some stories with us about how she built up her influence and why she travels to the world and why the heck is she in China right now? What's in China? Anyway, Marina, welcome to This Week in Photo. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, Frederick. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for this discussion because not only are you a photographer, but you're also a podcaster. So we're kind of like related in two different ways. So mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to this conversation with a like-minded peer to sort of dive a little bit deeper on the stuff that you do. So give us the your sort of elevator pitch or the origin story of Marina. Like, how did you get from where you were to where you are now? Just, you know, is if you can compress that. Yeah, how did you go from the previous Marina to the current Marina?
I think there's going to be a little bit more of the story than elevator pitch. So I'm originally from Russia, and I grew up in a small hometown. Then about 9 years ago, I flew first time to China, and I really like it. For me, it was like another world, you know, something like when you look into the moon, it's so far, and you know those Jackie Chan movies, and you get here, I'm like, wow, it's a real world. Yeah. That was very interesting to me. And when I was in Russia, I had my hobby. I've done modeling at that time, and I worked as a web design freelancer. So for me, it was basically, it doesn't matter where I'm going to live. And I'm like, I'm going to move to China because it's so interesting and so exciting. Mm-hmm. And I set for myself a goal that time. I came here for a month, and my first month here was, I'm like, everything is made in China. And I thought, everyone should speak English here. But they didn't. Even more, I rented a place in the area where there's almost no foreigners, and you go out to the street, and then I'm hungry, I want to eat something, and everything is in Chinese.
See, that's the worst nightmare right there. That's what people are afraid of. That. That's why a lot of people don't travel, is because I'm going to get some place, and I'm not going to be able to find anything, and I'm just going to be the weird foreigner that's sticking out like a sore thumb. How did you solve that?
Well, Walmart saved my life.
Walmart.
I found Walmart.
We should title this episode, Walmart Saved My Life.
Yes. I could just point there and like, I want this. I want to eat this thing. Please give it to me. I'm so hungry.
Yeah. Wow.
And then
Go ahead.
And then I get back to Russia and I thought like, well, that time I flew to China because I had not much things to do in Russia. I wanted to explore the world. And when I got back, I thought like, I even have more nothing to do now. I want to move there and see how it goes there. So I set for myself a goal. If I will be able to speak Chinese in half of the year, I can do anything. Because it's so crazy. You need to remember the character, how to write it, how to say that. And there are like four tones. I can tell you, ma, 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 ma. I just told you four different words.
Wow.
And you need to remember all of this.
And there's probably genders in there as well. Like females would say ma in one way and males say ma a different way, right? So that's that. So how many, well, I want to dive a little deeper, but I'm curious. Most people, unfortunately, outside of the United States of America, speak multiple languages. And you obviously speak at least two, and you're learning a third right now. How many languages does Marina know?
I usually say that I know 3.5. So I speak Russian, English, my Chinese now intermediate, and a little bit of Spanish.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, English and Spanish, you can get around the United States very easily.
So, and this is so funny. When I talk to my American friends, and they're like, wow, you speak so many languages. And I'm like, how many languages do you speak?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah. What do you mean? I'm American. I speak one language. One English. Language. That's enough.
Unfortunately, it's not enough. And most Americans do only speak one. So, Californians generally will speak kind of two, Spanish and English. But yeah, for the most part, it's one, unfortunately. Whereas the rest of the world, as we learned, speak at least two, maybe multiple. So yeah, we got to get better about that. So let's talk about photography and your background in photography. So you what started you on the path to where you are now in photography, and why do you love it so much?
Well, as I told you that I was interested in modeling, and I've done some modeling in Russia, then in China. And I had one of the photo shoots done for print when I was with the photographer, and we spent more than half of the day photographing me. And in a couple of weeks, I got pictures. I got 700 pictures.
Wow.
And from those, I could pick 10, which were like, you know, so-so, no bad.
Out of 700? Wow.
Yes, and only two I could use. And I was like, why? Because there, I saw that a little change the angle, you change the focus, you just change myself, the posing a little bit, and then you can get the brilliant shot. And I'm like, no, I'm going to do it by myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to trust guys anymore.
Yeah, well, they say if you can't, you know, the best way is to do it yourself if you can't find anyone to do it correctly. So what's the genre? So I'm guessing you stuck with sort of fashion and people type photography. What do you gravitate towards?
When I started, I tried many different things. This is what I usually do and recommend people. If you like something, try everything, and then you decide what your real passion is. So my passions are like people. I like everything about people. And then after that, I found myself in two styles. I shoot fashion style portraits for women, kind of magazine style, because I was a model and I know how to work with women. And they're like, oh, all of them are models in your portfolio. I'm like, no, most of those, first time in front of my camera, in front of any cameras,
wow,
except their cell phones.
Yeah.
And the second one, I photograph headshots and portraits for professionals and executives. So those are kind of my two favorite things, because I love business thinking and I love fashion, and I could not, you know, leave all of this, but they kind of mix together. Even if I photograph a woman, they have their career. Some of them are in their path to grow their business. And since that, I was thinking how I can help those people, how I can help my audience. And last year, I started a podcast, Marketing for Creatives, which was like really great. I got a lot of good feedback that people found new clients, they work at better, they're not afraid to sell anymore. It's fantastic how you can help people, how you can impact people's life.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, you and I are like related, because I feel exactly the same way about being able to reach a wide group of people just from sitting right here or you sitting right there and literally impact people's lives. Before we move on, I want to talk about marketing for creatives and influence and that sort of thing. Before we move on, I want to talk a little bit more about the photography side of things. And that's from your perspective, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that women that were models and then have transitioned into photography may have an unfair advantage against, you know, as opposed to males that are shooting females, because you can connect on different levels. And I've said the same thing about wedding photographers, male wedding photographers versus female wedding photographers. Not that one is better than the other, but as a female, certain doors are open for you in terms of being able to connect with your subject. Do you agree with that? Do you agree that you have an advantage and can get shots that, say, I wouldn't be able to get if, given the same subject and situation?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because the woman can trust you, but she will not open up as with the woman.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what I've heard from my different friends' experience, a girl can feel more, like sexy with a guy.
Yeah.
If the guy knows what he does. Because I've done photo shoots when guys try to make you look more sexy as they think. But this is not pictures which you may need for your work, which does not work for both sides. A girl tried to be, more closed because she does not like the style guy photograph, and he doesn't listen to her. So they got the misunderstanding. But when you work a woman photographer, and you photograph woman, you get a special connections. And girls, especially shy girls, who have their some kind of imperfections, maybe on their face, bad skin, maybe overweight. Because I work with all kinds of women, mm-hmm. and they are able to trust you more. And then you can capture that magic shot, the beautiful, and then look in the self and like, wow, I did not know I'm so beautiful.
that's where it comes down to, right? It's trust.
Yes.
It's the we talk a lot about on This Week in Photo, the relationship between a photographer and a model, if we're talking about model photography or even wedding photography or something like that, where you have to build rapport and a connection between the photographer and the model. And they have to trust each other, especially if you're doing nude or scantily clad or something that's sexy. I could see how there's another mountain to climb if you're a guy, right? Because first you got to meet them and they have to figure out that you're not insane. And then, the next mountain is, okay, I'm a competent photographer and I'm not trying to sleep with you. We're collaborating to get a photograph together. You have to get to that point where that's clicked in both of your minds. If you're not there and there's like, well, this guy's kind of flirting with me or she's flirting with me or whatever, if you're in that non-professional area, then the photographs will be impacted. It has to be professional and there has to be trust, bi-directional trust. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. And I have a friend, it's so funny. He likes to shoot boudoir pictures and his girlfriend got so jealous. So he told her, I'm like, I'm so busy to take the right picture, so I don't even get excited there. I can't.
Yeah.
My brain is working because I need to make it perfect, and she's nervous there.
Yeah. That's it, But at the same time, there's those kind of photographers who are doing the right thing, right? And then there's always going to be that photographer that is not doing the right thing, And it's the photographer that is there that's trying to sleep with models or do whatever. And that, and it's interesting because that, from a model or female perspective, you can't not assume that everyone is not like that, right? The analogy that I use is like, if you have a big jar of jelly beans, right, and they're delicious jelly beans, but three of them are poisonous and will kill you, right? You have to treat all of those jelly beans as suspects, right? So it's the same thing with photographers. Even if one or two photographers are nefarious and are going to do something sideways, you have to at least a little bit assume and keep your guard up until you know for sure. So that's that part. We could do a whole show on that topic. But I want to switch gears and talk about your podcast, Marketing for Creatives. Tell me about that. Like, why did you build it, and how has it been so far? Going from model to photographer, podcaster, what's the world like for you?
Oh, it's like now everything get together from all those different experiences. And when I was a model, I got into photography and learned more about this. But as I told you, I was doing freelance web design at that time. Mm-hmm. So when I became a photographer and started to do it professionally, I opened my online photo school, which was focused on Russian-speaking people. Mm. And I traveled all over the world. I've been in many places. I've been in the U.S. many times. I travel all over the U.S. too, even sometimes more than some people who live in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah.
And then because of not really good relationship between U.S. and Russia, the currency went down. Mm-hmm. So living abroad and working a lot on the school wasn't really profitable. So I had to leave it. But I really liked it. When you connect with people, with so many people around the world, I still have some followers on Instagram from those classes when I had the online school. And so interesting to see how they improve their work. And I was thinking how I can combine all of this and how I can help my audience who I serve now as a photographer. And I thought, like, I tried writing in English, and it was... I don't really like writing. I can write a good article, but it's not my thing. Then I will just be, you know, like out of energy for a few days. But I like talking to people. I like meeting with them. Like, you know, I specialize on portraits because I love people. And I said, why don't I try a podcast? And I started to reach some people, and it turned out to several episodes. And like I keep going. And I had my 1 year anniversary in December 2018. And that was the best year of content creations for me. I dropped on Instagram another time. I dropped on other writing guest posting, but I didn't drop on a podcast. And consistency in whatever content you create is so important.
Yeah.
And when you get this feedback, like, oh, I love this episode. This was right on time. And, oh, I listened to you. I wouldn't think about this. You get the results. And I try to collaborate with other people in my area, with other influencers. And now we're getting the project together. You know, you see that you have some impact on other people's life.
Yeah.
You see how their businesses grow, how they get something out of their passion. The reason why I started talking about the influence, and because I tried all of this by myself in the beginning of my career, I've done many genres. I could not solve myself. I went to the event. There was one time my sister visited me and we went together in the event, and I showed my pictures and girls like this, wow, so beautiful, I would like to have like this. And my sister was like in Russian. He told me, Marina, sell. I'm like, Dasha, I cannot. Yes, so beautiful pictures. Marina, sell. Dasha, I cannot. I was so afraid because you, especially when you're a creative person, you so care about your art, yeah. You know, like making people love what you do. If someone don't buy it, or don't some kind of reject you or criticize you or just give opinion which does not align with your own, you feel rejected.
Yeah.
You feel hurt, and you may leave your art for some time even.
Yeah, and that's you hit it right on the head, because that's the double-edged sword of the internet and social media, right? Because it gives you a platform to reach millions or billions of people, you know, depending on who you are and what your message is. But at the same time, you have to build up a level of resistance or thick skin, because there's always going to be a percentage of those people that don't like you for whatever reasons, that will leave hateful comments, you know, from the shadows or whatever. There's always going to be those people. And to be a successful content creator, you have to be able to weather that storm and let it bounce off of you and keep going. Because if every time you get a negative comment on your work or what you're doing or the content that you're producing and you fold, then you're in the wrong business. Because, you know, generally speaking, there are a lot of evil people out there, right? There are a lot of great people, sure. But the evil people tend to come from the shadows, especially shrouded by the anonymity of the internet, right? So, and I can't imagine what it would be like to be, you know, a pretty girl or a model that has put themselves out there content creation wise and the feedback, both positive and negative, that you get. Can you talk to that a little bit? Like, what has been your experience, you know, being a model turned photographer turned podcaster and sort of mixing all that together and then exposing yourself, your true self, to the world? What's the positive and negative of that?
That was challenging, especially in the beginning, mm-hmm. because many people knew me as a model already. And when you go meet new people, and especially, you know, like, have pretty face, tall, slim, young woman, and you share, like, I'm a photographer. And then there's a guy come to you and like, why don't you be a model?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
like, yeah.
No. And when you try to position yourself as a photographer, sometimes people try to approach you in a different way. Like, why do you do photography? Why don't you do modeling again? But I like it. If you like it, just go for it. Not every people needs to like your work or like you.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I got some situations when another beginner photographer reached me out and he asked me, do you know any photographers groups here? I'm like, I'm not really into that. But maybe you just know something. Maybe you can add me there, just some of them. I'm like, I don't get in touch with the photographers because they're not my clients. I know only few, which are, they are my friends, but that's it. And he was like, you're so mean. I wish you good luck in this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, this is true.
Yeah.
This is just true.
The truth hurts sometimes, right? You know?
Yeah.
So the last part of this, I wanted to switch gears and talk about influence, right? We started this talking about influence, and let's end it, talk about influence. So when you and I spoke initially, you were telling me some really interesting stories about how your experiences with building influence and how that goes. I want to put a finer point on it and talk, you know, from the standpoint of people that are watching this and they're envious of you, because people are going to be envious, right? You're going to be a pretty girl living abroad on your own. You're doing your thing. You're using the internet. You're generating income. You're helping people. You're changing lives. You have a voice on the internet, which a lot of people just don't have. You know, a lot of people are in their 9-to-5 grind, or they're working in a factory, or they're working in Silicon Valley in a cubicle or whatever. In today's world, part of the equation to success is influence, you know, building an audience, building an Instagram, building a, you know, Facebook or podcast following or whatever. How do you do that? What are the steps to doing that, to going from no one knows who I am and I just started an Instagram account and I'm an egg, to I have a million followers and these billion-dollar brands are throwing money at me for one tweet? How do I go from A to B, in your opinion?
Well, for Instagram, first you can follow people who follow you and who you connect with. I followed you. You did not follow me back yet.
Oh, I will. I hate Instagram.
Okay, but growing the authority. For our listeners, I'll give you 5 steps which will help you to go from nowhere to where you will have your impact. So the step number one, you need to decide what you want to be known for.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a photographer, what is that special of expertise you want to be known for? If you say, like, I want to be just famous photographer, there are a lot of famous photographers. You compete with a mass. What do you want to specialize in? Do you want to specialize in weddings? Do you want to specialize in portraits? Do you want to specialize in event photography? Find your specific niche. And pay attention, please, that I don't say that I want to be a famous, or what do you want to be famous for?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to be known for? And not only the best photographer. You can be the best in what you do, but if nobody knows you, this is the key element. If nobody knows you, then you can be a best photographer for yourself for years, and then you'll be only one person. Now, when you decide what you want to be known for, there are 2 key elements of influence. So influencer is a person who have impact on behavior or opinion of other people by their knowledge, their authority, or their relationship with the audience. So there are 2 key parts, your audience and sharing your message. So the step number 2, put together why people need to listen to you, why people should follow you, why they should consider you as an expert. If you're a photographer, you need to have your portfolio, your testimonials. If you're already established and you can share something, think about what are those messages. If I talk to my audience as a photographer, I can teach you how to work with models, how to set up lightings. But I picked my area of expertise talking about how to grow your influence, how to get on the podcast, how to gain your credibility. It's not necessary to be just specific about photography, but it needs to help your audience.
Yeah.
Pick 1 to 3 topics which you can share. And when you will create a content about it, you will help your people, your audience in this area. If you do wedding photography, for example, how you can help them. You can help them how to find the perfect venue, how to make an incredible event. So this is what you can help them. Not only how to set up the shot for photography, for photograph wedding, for photograph couples or their family, right? So this is the step number 2. You need to put all your credentials and define how you want to, what message you're going to share. Then the step number 3, you need to reach other media and other audiences and become more and more well known. What I mean by this. So think about other podcasts, other media, online or offline media. They can be magazines, they can be just online websites who already have their audience, but this is your audience too. You go there instead of you yourself getting to each person and try to sell yourself. Oh, I'm a portrait photographer. Would you like to have a portrait? Or I'm a wedding photographer. Would you like me to be a photographer? You go to the audiences or to the places where already audience is, and then you bring value by sharing those content which you decide that you're going to share about the area of your expertise.
Yeah.
So you get to the podcast, you get to the media, and then the 4th step, which will help you a lot. Think about how you can collaborate with other with other influencers. So they can be, there's several types. There are 4 types. They're bloggers and content creators. They're journalists. They're other experts and thought leaders. And they're celebrities. If you're just starting out or if you're not super famous yet, maybe it will be harder for you to reach the celebrities. But think about, who are those micro-influencers in your area? If, for example, you're a portrait photographer and you specialize on professionals, shooting professional headshots or shooting just portraits, corporate portraits, you can come up with a project. Let's say I want to photograph 10 people in my area, 10 best professionals. And what people do you want to specialize in?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say fitness and beauty industry.
Yeah.
Top 10 people in beauty industry. So you need to find those micro influencers because they already have their audience. So when you photograph them, and this is your benefit, when you photograph them, 9 times out of 10, if your pictures are good, they'll put it online because they need it.
Mm.
And when you have this as a project, it's easy for you to approach. It's not that I come to you and, you know, Frederick, would you like to take pictures with me? You're like, why? You know, I'm actually busy. Yeah, maybe I want some, but it's not, you know, maybe it's important, maybe it's not that important for you. But if you come to the person and say, Frederick, I work on the project now. Within this month, try to make it shorter, faster. So within this month, I photograph 10 best beauty people in the town, like people who work with beauty. And let's say you are, I don't know, who are you? A fitness instructor.
Yeah.
This is your 3rd job. So I come to you and say, would you like to be photographed? And then I will put all of those 10 people in the article on my website. And I try to reach out the magazines to see if they would be interesting in sharing that. But if no, I will be just proud that you would be that one of those 10 best people in the town because I'm so passionate about your work. You are an amazing person. You do an amazing job. Would you say yes?
I would say yes. Absolutely. I would say yes. See, those are perfect tips. That's in one of the takeaways. I want to make sure that people hammer this home is that's the idea that part of the way that people get to be successful is by helping other people. Right. And what Marina was saying is just the idea of starting out and building your business or your just sort of ethos towards approaching your photography, if you're trying to make a business out of it, from the standpoint of how can I help this person or how can I help people or what do I like doing and how does what do I like doing help other people versus the antithesis of that, which is, okay, how do I make a buck? How can I get some money out of that person? How can I swindle them out of 10 bucks or whatever? You know, if you look at it from the opposite perspective, then you'll be successful. And then all the other tips that you mentioned were brilliant. Like the Trojan horse of, hey, let me photograph you, you know? And of course, the litmus test is are your photos good? And if they are, that influencer will likely share what you have given them. And then there you go. You're bigger. Then you rinse and repeat and do that over and over again. And now people are asking you, can I photograph you? Right? So...
Exactly. And this is the fifth step. The more you get to other audiences, the more you get other media appearance or work with higher level people, you update your portfolio, your testimonials, you update your credentials, put all of those links if you have media appearance on your website. So people will come on your website and they say, wow, this person is already recognized. I want to be photographed by this person.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I think to continue the discussion with that, people can what? Head over to your podcast, right? And because you
can get to my podcast.
You've got a lot to say. So tell me about the podcast. Where is it? What's the name of it again? And how can people just sort of connect to you in other ways?
So the podcast is Marketing for Creatives. It focuses specifically on us creative people, on small business owners, solopreneurs who do their work on their own. And, you know, we need to do a lot of things. So I try to bring in each episode practical tips that you listen and apply to your business. It goes Marketing for Creatives. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, like any of your favorite platforms where you listen to the podcast. And if you want to know more about what type of influencer you are right now and what to do next, how to grow your influence and authority, you can go to the website marinabaraeva.com/influencer and take a quick test there, answer several questions, and you will get the result of what is your situation now, what is your next step, and you will get some more tips from me after that. And please feel free to connect to me on social media. And I'm happy to.
On social media, same thing, Marina Baraeva.
Marina Baraeva everywhere.
Excellent. Marina, thank you so much for coming on. It's a pleasure and a breath of fresh air chatting with you. And like I said, we're like-minded people on opposite sides of the planet. And that's the magic of the internet that allows us to do this, right?
True. I got my morning coffee. You got your daytime.
I got my evening drink. And look, we're creating content and helping people. That's mm-hmm. that's the name of the game.
Amazing.
Marina, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you.
It's my pleasure, Frederick, to serve your audience today.
All right. Take care.
This is TWIP.
This episode of TWIP is brought to you by Datacolor and the new Spider X Pro. The Spider X Pro is designed for serious photographers and designers seeking a fast, accurate, and easy-to-use monitor calibration solution. You can check out the Spider X Pro at spiderx.datacolor.com. This episode of This Week in Photo is brought to you by Creative Live. Head over to creativelive.com and choose from over 1,000 amazing courses. Use the code TWIP10 at checkout to get $10 off your first purchase. This episode of This Week in Photo is brought to you by WPPI, the Wedding and Portrait Photographers International Conference. Head over to WPPIExpo.com/TWIP to get $30 off your show floor expo pass.